and in the world. So we see it's not something that we have to seek after. This joy is not something that we're seeking to gain, but rather as the Holy Spirit is in us, we can be filled with that joy at every moment as we dwell on what Christ has done for us, as we abide with him daily. Now I want to say first off, as I start this sermon, that my reason for preaching on joy as I wrote this sermon was the challenge I felt in my own life. So it's not that I'm just challenging you, but I'm challenging myself that I was not living full of joy in my work environment and other places. And in the weeks since, as I've had a loss of relationship, as I quit my job at Montana's, have been going through that difficult time, how much more appropriate it is to have that joy, even in those dark times, even in the difficult times, that we can have that joy. So God is speaking to me first, and then I can bring that message to you today. The Bible speaks so much about joy. We've been speaking about it so much today already. But how often would we truly describe ourselves as joyful, as full of joy? Or how often would the people around us see that in us, see that joy in us? The word joy, as I thought about it, it brings to mind classic Christmas songs like Joy to the World, or old hymns of the faith like Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. So as we think about these old songs of joy, maybe we think it's only in the old, the past, the simpler times that we can have that joy. Or maybe it's only at Christmas time that that joy can be a reality. But this is not what God desires for us. God desires that we would have that joy. It's not a feeling only felt sometimes of the year. It's not a feeling only felt by Sunday, but that every day we could be full of that joy. It's not a feeling that was only experienced by Jesus and his disciples. It was not only felt by the pioneers of the faith. It's rather a feeling that could be a reality for us each and every day who call ourselves followers of Christ. And then as the world sees the church, they should be drawn to us as they see that joy. They see the love of God in us and that we'd be characterized by that peace, love, and joy. But I know for me, and I know for all of us, we let things rob us of our joy. And that's what I want to talk about today. So I've already touched briefly on what true joy is, as we've looked at a couple things here, but I want to flesh that out a bit. Look at some scriptures that describe this joy that we can have. So first off, we need to realize that true joy is rooted in Jesus Christ. It's rooted in Jesus Christ. It comes from no other source. For as it says in Luke 2, verses 10 and 11, "For fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This news that was told to the shepherds was meant to bring great joy to them. And it's meant to bring great joy for us today that our Savior chose to come on this earth, to take on flesh, knowing what he would endure, knowing what he was coming for what purpose he was coming, but for that joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. As it says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, Jesus knew what coming to this earth meant. He knew what his death and resurrection would mean for all of us. Yet he was joyful, even on the road to the cross. So as we consider that Jesus was joyful in that time, in any pain or suffering we should experience, we must consider this truth, that our Savior, as he experienced the depth of suffering, shame, rejection, and pain, he approached it with joy. So consider with me two passages about our approach to suffering and hardship. First, I want to look at the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Secondly, consider with me James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So both these passages are teaching on this truth, that even in suffering, even in our difficult times, we can have joy. We can rejoice in them, knowing that through those sufferings, through those dark times, God is creating in us those characteristics that he wants to see, like love, peace, hope, joy, all these things that are crucial in our walk. And we also know about joy that it's a fruit of the Spirit. As it says in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So this joy, it's on the same plane as love, peace, these other amazing things that God produces in us by the Holy Spirit. But again, note that this joy does not come from us. It's not coming from our situation, but it is placed in us through the Holy Spirit as we rely on him. Again, further in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, Paul says to the Roman people, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." He says here, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace." It's something that's coming from God. He's filling us with it. He's putting it in us. It's not something we're creating in ourselves. And again, note the connection here of these words, joy, peace, and hope. For as we live in the reality and as we live in the joy that God grants to us, we will be full of his peace. We won't be worrying about anything. We won't be anxious about anything. And then also we'll be full of hope. As we're reminded day by day of what Christ has done for us, we'll be focused on what is to come. The hope that we have, our future glorification, our promised eternal life in Jesus. And I can't think of a better witness to this needy world than to be believers, followers of Christ, filled with the joy of the Lord, living in peace with one another, living in peace with all people, with our eyes fixed on him and the hope that we have each and every day for the future that God has promised to us. And I believe that if we live in that reality, if we live in that joy, that love, that peace, that not only will people see that in us and see that as something that they want, that they desire, but also that we wouldn't be able to help but to share it with all those that we come into contact with, of where we get that from, the God that gives it to us graciously. So we've looked at this joy that we can have from God. We've looked at these scriptures that describe where this joy comes from. But I think that if we're all realistic with ourselves, I know if I'm realistic with myself, we know that not every moment we're living joy-filled lives. But why is that? Why are we not characterized by joy each and every moment? I believe that many times it's because we allow things, people, or situations, or even ourselves to rob us of our joy. So I want to touch on a few things that I've experienced, but I recognize that there are many more. It's certainly not an exhaustive list. And each person in their own experience will have experienced different things. But the one thing I want to start off with that can rob us of our joy is a striving after worldly things. As we strive after success in the workplace, climbing the corporate ladder, as we look for money, we look for possessions, we look to find that relationship that we think will make us whole. If we're constantly striving for these things, focuses on these things of the world that we can possess, we'll never be content. We'll never reach that place of fulfillment, and we'll never be filled with lasting joy. Because once you reach one thing, you're always going to be reaching for the next thing. I love how Matt Chandler puts it in his book, To Live as Christ, To Die as Gain. He says, we often say things like this: if I just get this job, my life will be perfect. If I can just get a boyfriend or girlfriend, a husband or wife, he or she will complete me. If I just make more money, life will be so much easier. But when we do get what we desire, we find that the goalpost has moved. We envision arriving at a particular place of contentment, only to find that it's constantly out of reach. It's a mirage, like an oasis in the desert. We're chasing the wind. So the only way to avoid this striving for earthly things, is to start resting in God, in Jesus Christ, and his finished work on the cross. Then we can live in that peace, in that fulfillment, and that true joy that God grants to us. So going along with the last one, striving after worldly things, as I said already, one thing, we can strive after those relationships. We can let our relationships rob us of our joy. This can happen as we put so much stock in them. We look to find our joy from this other person that's so close to us, that's important to us. And that's a good thing, to grow close to people, to have those relationships. God grants those to us. But those relationships are not to provide us as our only source of joy. Rather, we need to look at it from God. Absolutely, marriage, these things are a gift from God, but they're not meant to grant us joy day in and day out, moment by moment. We need to find our joy in God, not in other people. We can't rely on these people because not only does it make it hard for us, as they will let us down, we'll let them down, but it puts an unnecessary burden on them as well. That person is not meant to give you all your joy. You need to find that in the Lord. And the third thing that we can allow to rob us of our joy is the difficult times that we experience, the trials, the tribulations, whether it be sickness, a death of a loved one, relational strife, losing a job, whatever it may be, those things can rob us of our joy. Of course, it's not wrong to mourn. It's not wrong to experience sadness. God has granted us these emotions, these feelings. And as it says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So God knows we'll experience these emotions. He knows we'll experience sadness. But the thing is about joy as opposed to happiness is we can still experience joy as we are sad. I don't think you would say that you could feel sad and happy at the same time. It doesn't make sense. But it's possible to be in mourning, to be suffering, and still experience joy as we look to the Lord. As it says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10, to be sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Even in the depth of our sorrow, we can feel that joy as we look to the Lord. If we do not seek to find our joy in people or these things, but rather in God, then when we lose people, when we lose these things, these possessions, our health, our job, we will still have our joy as we look to the Lord, for God has not changed. That joy granted to us is always here when we look to Him. And His love He has for us will never change. How much does the sermon impact? And as I told you about it, I know I'm preparing this sermon, and I know I'm looking at this sermon, I have a challenge for you. Thinking about how I can live a more joyful life. Looking at the Bible to find it. with that peace, to remind us of the hope that we have moment by moment, and then to be full of his joy. And to finish off, I want to just look at the words of Jesus again in John chapter 15. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but as Jesus speaks to the people around him, he talks about being the true vine. He calls them to abide in his vine, to abide in him, to seek him. And as they seek him, they will have true life. They will have a vibrant life as they abide in that vine. Only in the vine can they have that true life. And then in verse 11, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." So only in this true vine, only in Jesus Christ, will we experience joy to the Lord. And this is not a fleeting joy, not a happiness, or not a good feeling that the world promises, but a joy that's there in every circumstance, in work, in play, in those moments alone in the dark, in the good times, in the incredibly difficult times. The joy from Jesus Christ will carry us through as we seek to abide in him, moment by moment, day by day. So together, let's seek to draw near to Jesus as we abide in him and allow the Holy Spirit to remind us daily of what Jesus did for us, is doing for us, and will do in the future. And let him fill us with the hope, peace, and joy that can only come from God. Don't seek to find joy in the worldly pleasures, but in God, where we can find lasting and true joy and be that fragrance of Christ that the world desperately needs to see and experience in a real way. I invite the worship team to come back.